Inspiring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and today's conversation with 94-year-old Gloria Saucier of Las Vegas, Nevada. A native of New Jersey, Gloria served in the Marine Corps Women's Reserve during World War II. She's proud of the way her whole family supported the war effort, from her brother on a destroyer escort in the Navy, to her mother as a Red Cross nurse, her father as an air raid warden. In a moment, we're going to hear the amazing connection Gloria made as the result of her trip to Washington, D.C. with Honor Flight Southern Nevada. But first, a very unique situation she encountered during the 5 years she spent as a TWA flight attendant after World War II.
The most interesting thing that ever happened on my flight, I was flying with another gal. Her name was Gloria Henshaw. So there are two Glorias on this flight. But this was a constellation. And we would fly from San Francisco, Phoenix, Albuquerque, and Chicago. Those were the stops. Well, the flight attendants had hostess seats in the rear of the plane of the Lockheed Constellation. But this, as we departed from San Francisco, this little man came up and said to us, "Do you mind if I sit right in front of your seats?" And we said, no, that's fine. So as we were flying, we were about ready to land in Phoenix. He said, "Would you do me a favor?" He said, "Would you look out and see if there's anybody there on the runway?" Because the main cabin door was adjacent to where our seats were. Mm-hmm. So we looked out and we said, "No, there's nobody there standing on the tarmac." Then we got to Albuquerque and he asked the same thing, the same question. And so we said, "Oh, sure, we'll do it." Well, there was no one there. Then finally, when we landed at Chicago, we looked out and there were about four or five men, real tall men. I remember that. And they were dressed in suits. He says, "Anybody out there?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And so he looked out. He says, "Oh, that's wonderful." So he got off the plane. But he found out that Gloria and I were staying at the Del Prado Hotel in Chicago. So as a result, we were lookouts for this gangster. And his name was Al Green. And we had a layover in Chicago overnight. In those days, you'd have longer layovers. And he sent down a limousine. He had a couple men in the limousine, and they had flowers for us, and they took us to the Ambassador Hotel. First time I ever had lobster in my life. And then we went to the Chez Parisien nightclub, and we realized that one of the so-called gangsters or bodyguards, whatever, was dating one of the little chorus girls. And we got to meet the group of entertainers. And it was just wonderful. So when I told my mother later about the story, how we wined and dined and had such a wonderful time, my mother almost died. She says, "Do you realize that you were with gangsters? But, you know, I think we're probably more protected than anybody else," because he had this, you know, entourage. I'd say about at least six men there. So we were lookouts. Gloria and I were lookouts. Those were good days. They were fun days.
Well, and I don't want to miss anything in all those decades in between that's important to you, so feel free to share it. But there's a twist to your story just in the last couple of years here that actually opened up a chapter of your past that has been pretty exciting. It started with Honor Flight Southern Nevada and going with other veterans to Washington, D.C. to see those memorials. What was that experience like for you on that trip?
That was the biggest thrill. Well, the biggest, meeting all these other veterans, and they were so nice and so interesting. There was only one other woman veteran on the flight. Unfortunately, she was in a wheelchair, and she had to be contained in a certain area. But we did get to room together. The thing about that flight was to visit all the memorials, and then to visit the women's memorial, which is fairly new, and learn that a very good friend of mine that I learned to fly with became quite famous. And she had a book in the Women's Memorial. And the people who were taking care of me went and purchased the book. And I didn't realize until after I read the book that we had the same flight instructors. We knew each other quite well. She went on and became very famous. She got to fly with Jacqueline Cochran. She and Hap Arnold and Barry Goldwater got to reinstate these women ferry pilots as veterans.
So the WASPs of World War II, whose program had been disbanded during the war, but who risked their lives in ferrying all these flights to so many places, they weren't recognized with veteran status until she was part of that effort to get a veteran status.
Exactly, exactly. And I had the privilege of learning to fly with her.
So you learned to fly with her in the 40s, but you hadn't talked to her or maybe even thought about her since then, right?
Never wondered what happened to her. I had no knowledge of her importance and what she did. And she continued her career in aviation. And she's a wonderful role model, I think, her whole life, what she's done for women in aviation. I would put her along with Jacqueline Cochran, possibly Amelia Earhart. You know, these were the gals that paved the way.
And her name is Bee Falk, her married name, Haydu. And so you learn about her. You see this book, thanks to the guardians on your honor flight who gave it to you. You're reading through it. You see all these things, and the alarm bells go off. And I'm sure at some point you thought, well, hey, maybe she's still out there somewhere. Maybe I can talk to her. What'd you do about it?
Well, my niece was the one that found out that Bee is living in Florida. She is 97 years old. She'll be 98 in December. And she got her phone number, her address. And, of course, I called her. And I had to tell her it's Gloria West because that was my maiden name. And we just couldn't get over. We had so much to talk about. Our instructors, our flights, our terrible landings.
You didn't tell me about those.
Well, you bounce them in sometimes. But anyway, it was wonderful. And I can't say enough about the honor flight. I try to contribute to them because I think what they do is just, it's so worthwhile. And these veterans, particularly the men that were overseas and saw active service, they're the ones, I think, that should be remembered. A lot of them are older, and they don't feel well, and they feel they're neglected. And then to give them an honor flight and make them feel so great, you know about the quilt.
Well, yeah, I do, but I'm sure there are plenty of our listeners who haven't heard of this before. In the state of Nevada, every single veteran who goes on an honor flight, whether it's out of Reno or like you with Honor Flight Southern Nevada out of Las Vegas, every one of those vets is presented with a quilt that is hand-sewn by the volunteers with the Quilts of Valor Foundation. You know, I'll go ahead and put up a link to Quilts of Valor at hometownheroesradio.com. Nationwide, nearly 200,000 of these quilts have been awarded to veterans since the effort first started in 2003. And when you went on the honor flight, Gloria, you received one of those quilts, which you proudly display here in your home.
Yes, it's lovely. And then the other thing, to be able to place a reef on the tune of the Unknown Soldier, and then to hear taps played right after, it was quite an emotional experience. And there was quite an audience around, and it was nice because it's something we felt as a group. Even though you didn't know these people, you just had this wonderful, wonderful patriotic feeling. It was, you know, it was really something. But as I told you earlier, what's impressed me more than anything else was people that did not know you and would do so much for you. And even the little Girl Scout troops, they would save their pennies so they could buy me a bouquet of roses or write placards. And you know, it's nice to know there's so many wonderful people out there. We don't hear about them. And I was fortunate and very, very lucky to be able to experience all these things. I feel so privileged. I don't know what I've done to earn it. I hope someday I'll be able to say I've done something. But it's a good feeling. And like I say, there's so many people out there that don't even know us, but are willing to do things for us.
Well, and the reason those folks are willing to do things for you is they know what you did for the rest of us, that you were willing to put your life on hold and serve our country however you could. And I've talked to a lot of vets who've been on the honor flight, and they're always, you know, amazed by the places they see, the way they're treated, A lot of people say even, you know, when they come back, it's the homecoming they never got in World War II. And they make friends with the other veterans on the flight. But I've yet to meet someone who's got a story like yours where you reconnected with a friend from 75 years ago only because of the honor flight. How do you explain all that? How do you make sense of that?
No, I think the good Lord works in many mysterious ways. And I think I have a lot of little angels around me. I don't know. It's hard to believe, it really is, that this all has happened because of the honor flight. I do admire the people that are involved in the honor flight. They do so much work involved. You know, there's a lot of planning. I know the veterans were so pleased. And I remember when we landed, we had, the fire department had that shield of water. And that was a big, big thrill. And the other big thrill that I really liked, when we stayed at Baltimore, so we had to drive from Baltimore. They took the bus from Baltimore into Washington, D.C. So as a result, this is just this little two-lane highway. We had a motorcycle policeman in front of the bus. We had a police car on the right side of the bus preventing oncoming traffic as we were just going through. The policeman on the motorcycle, I don't know how he did it, but he had his hands off the motorcycle and he was telling the cars, you know, one in this lane, that lane. And when we got into Washington, we just went through all the red lights. We went through everything. I mean, and people were standing on the corners and looking at us and wondering, well, who are these people? But you know, it was fun, and it really made you feel, you know, important. But it was like one of the best Disneyland rides I've ever had in my life. I really enjoyed it.
You know, I was thinking maybe I should ask you, if one of your great-grandkids says, what was being a woman Marine all about? What do we need to know about World War II and what you did? But one of your granddaughters has actually made a documentary on you? So your family's aware of this.
My granddaughter, yeah, made a documentary about my life. Of course, I'm very proud of her. She graduated with honors, and she's a pretty sharp gal.
What is important for the rest of us to know about the trailblazing role that you had? Because you were one of the first female Marines, and now women have opportunities that you ladies couldn't dream of 75 years ago. What should we remember about that, and what would you say you're most proud of?
Well, I think I'm most proud of my mother. My mother was a type of person. She was a nurse, but she encouraged me in my flying. She encouraged me with the Marine Corps. My mom and dad they would always write to me. They would always tell me how proud they were. And my mother was a great encourager. And I think I'm very grateful for her. I probably wouldn't do half the things that I did if it weren't for her. And she had confidence in me. And she was way ahead of her times.
The documentary that your granddaughter did on you features you reciting a poem that a lot of aviation aficionados might recognize. Not to put you on the spot, but can you recite it on the spot? You still have it memorized?
I think I remember most of it. Of course, you realize this was an RAF pilot, McGee, I believe was his name. His mother had received a letter with the poem in it. And unfortunately, after she received the letter, she received notice that he had been killed. But it's called High Flight. I just think it's the most beautiful, beautiful poem. I can sort of follow every word he says because the way he feels about flying, you know. I have slipped the surly bounds of earth and danced the sky on silvered wings. Sunward I climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 million things you have not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared and spun my eager craft through footless halls of space. Up, up, the long, delirious, burning blue where never a lark or even eagle flew. And while in silent lifting mind I've trod the untrespassed something of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. I don't remember it the way I used to.
That sounded pretty good to me. I don't want to leave anything out that's important to you. And I also don't want to forget to thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us your pretty unique story here. I guess I have to ask you with regard to your friend B. So you've reconnected after all these decades. You've talked on the phone. Have you thought about maybe meeting up with her somewhere?
Yes. I have a friend who's a flight attendant now with United. And I told her the story, and she says, well, I fly into Miami. So she says, let's work on something. So we're going to see what we can do. I'd like to surprise her.
Well, please let us know when that happens, because what a precious postscript that would be to your unique story that you've shared with us today. That is Gloria Saucier. I told you she didn't sound 94. Pull up the photos and video at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Big thanks to Belinda Morse of Honor Flight Southern Nevada for again introducing me to a special vet she's had the chance to take to our nation's capital. And thank you for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.